Well, let's all open together back to John chapter 15 if you're not already there. And you can see, if you have a bulletin, that the title of tonight's message is The Vineyard of God. Now, the Vineyard of God is the church. The church, both the one that we can see and the one that we cannot see, the local church, where we are here and now, but also the invisible church, which consists of all those who in every time and place have professed Jesus as Lord. Both of those churches, the visible and the invisible, are the vineyard of God. That's the message of the text we will look at tonight, John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. And before we give our hearts to that gracious, wonderful word, let us prepare them with a word of prayer. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, how we bless you once more at the conclusion of this Lord's Day for yet another time to be with you, to abide in you, to simply be with you in your presence. Father, I come tonight to ask on behalf of your name, but also on behalf of these your people. I ask you, O God, for your Holy Spirit to come, who resides within us, who is our teacher, to come and enliven our minds and enliven our hearts to hear the words of our Lord Jesus as you have written them and inspired them through your Apostle John. O Lord Jesus, make the words that are heard from my mouth the words of the living God. And may our meditations tonight, as this local branch of your living body, be pleasing and honoring to you. We pray it all in and through our Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, when Jesus told the disciples to rise from the dinner table in the upper room and to go along with him, we're not sure where they went. The next reference we have that John gives us to Jesus' whereabouts with his disciples, it does not come all the way until chapter 18, verse 1. At that time, Jesus, we know, he will cross the Kidron Valley, which is just east of the Temple Mount. And we know that Jesus is somewhere near the eastern side of the Temple Mount. So if you were to go to Jerusalem and see the Dome of the Rock, he is just east of that location. He is there in this he was there in the upper room, enjoying the Passover meal with his disciples and teaching him the lessons we've been studying for the last several weeks. And at some point, he will cross the Kidron Valley, which is located, as I said, just to the east of the Temple Mount, through there up into the Garden of Gethsemane. And it will be there in Gethsemane that a violent Jewish mob will take him into custody in the middle of the night. And early the next morning, he will be crucified at the decree of Pilate. But between that time and the time when Jesus said, "Rise and let us go from here," as we see that there in chapter 14, verse 31. We do not know where Jesus went. We don't know where he went, but we do know whom he was with and what he said. He was with his 11 disciples. He was with Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, who is the son of a man named Alphaeus, and Simon, who Matthew tells us was a zealot. Now, these were to become the future leaders of the church. They would be, so to speak, the pillars on which the church, which today consists of over 2 billion people all over the globe, these 11 men were to be the foundation. Their ministry was to serve as the foundation of that living community. And they would devote their entire lives to teaching others what Jesus taught them. Now, among those 11 was John, son of Zebedee, who gave his life to teaching and to recording the lessons that Jesus taught him. And he has written down for us the lesson that Jesus taught him that night on the way to Gethsemane. And this is the lesson that we have written for us in John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. And this is the lesson. The church, which at the time when John heard this, was the church to be, but for us here and now, it's the church that already is. The church is like a vineyard. The church is like a vineyard. Its parts are like the parts of a vineyard. Its process is like the process of a vineyard. And its purpose is like the purpose of a vineyard. That's Jesus' lesson, which he taught him that night. Now, if the church of God is like a vineyard, and you, where you are tonight, are a member of that church, whether visibly, well, both visibly and invisibly, then tonight, through our walk, through these 8 verses, you must find your place in the vineyard of God. This is not a lesson to be heard about the way the church is. It is that. But it is also a call from God Himself for you to find your place in God's vineyard, wherever that may be and whatever that may look like. And so, as we walk together through the parts, the process, and the purpose of the vineyard of God, I want you to just be praying toward that end. Praying, say, Father, as we're walking together through this, show me where I fit into your grand and ornate and beautiful vineyard. So first, let's look together at the parts of the vineyard. So the parts of the church, which are like the parts of a vineyard. Now, the sum of Jesus' teaching in verses 1 and 2 is just that. That the parts of the church are like the parts of a vineyard. Now, I've never been to a vineyard, but I can deduce from what Jesus says in verses 1 and 2 that every vineyard has 5 parts. First, every vineyard has a vine. So this is, if this is a grape vineyard, there is a grapevine. Now, obviously, there are hundreds and maybe thousands of grapevines in a vineyard. But every vineyard will have at least one vine. Every vineyard will have branches coming from that vine. And every vineyard will have between the vine and the branches sap. And as the sap moves from the vine to the branches, in time it produces fruit. Now there's also a vine dresser, a harvester, who when the fruit has ripened and has been produced from the sap moving from the vine to the branches, will come and will harvest the fruit for his own purposes. Now Jesus says that those 5 parts correspond with each of the 5 parts of the church. So we can take from that picture Jesus' teaching that there are 5 parts to the church. The vine corresponds to Jesus the Son. So each of the 5 parts of the vineyard correspond to each part of the church. The vine corresponds to Jesus the Son. The branches correspond to local churches like us and their members, people like you and me. Now the sap corresponds to the living Word. And the fruit corresponds to ministry or service, whichever word you like. And of course, the vine dresser corresponds to the Father who reaps the ministry that comes from the local church. So in this picture, Jesus says, I'm the trunk of the vine. I supply sap to the branches. I supply Christians and Christian communities with the living Word of God through my Spirit. So right now, what's happening to you, to the extent that I am a vessel fit for my Master's use, is it's not me, but Jesus in and through me ministering His living Word to your soul. And as that living Word finds a holy resting place in your heart, in time, it produces works, deeds, which correspond to fruit or to grapes. Jesus says, I supply that living Word by my Spirit. Now, my Father, He says, is the vine dresser. My Father harvests the ministry of a local church to His own glory. That's how it works. That's how the Father and the Son and the Spirit are incorporated into the life of a local church. The Son is the vine who mediates the Word to the branches by His Spirit. And as that Word finds holy resting place in the hearts, the branches of His church, and produces fruit, produces good works to Jesus' name, the Father harvests those and uses those to reveal Himself to the world. That's how the church works. Or at least Jesus says that's how it should work. Now, unfruitful branches are removed. Unfruitful churches are closed down. Elizabeth has planted a kale garden with lots of hard work. She bought the kale, she dug it, she planted it, she watered it, and I did the really hard work of pulling off the branches and eating them. That was my job in the project. And as I would pull those off, I would see that even that there were branches, there were leaves who were attached to the stalk that were ripe and green and leafy, but then there were also leaves that were attached to the stalk that were brown. So the same leaves were attached to the same stalk, given the same water and the same treatment, but one was fit for my use, namely my appetite, and another was not. And Jesus says that if there are branches attached to me, that is affiliated with my church, that do not produce works like I performed in my ministry, that are not right and fit for my Father's use, namely His glory, those branches are removed. Those churches will be closed down. I'm fascinated with sometimes every now and then as I'm out and about and I hear about the number of churches that were here when this one began. Now, I'm not saying that those churches have closed down because they were unfruitful. I am saying that could be the case. And Jesus is very clear in His teaching about how necessary it is that the church work this way. Now, fruitful branches, fruitful churches, are pruned for the purpose of bearing more fruit. So those communities and Christians that do bear fruit, they are supplied with even more grace for the doing of more ministry. Okay, now that's the first part of what Jesus says, that the parts of the church are like the parts of a vineyard. Now, some time ago, I attended, I've never done this before or since, but I attended a 12-course meal. I don't know if you've ever done that. It's quite the experience. Now, I'm not a wine drinker, or at least I wasn't at the time, and with every course, they served amazingly fine wine at every single course. So there was fine wine at the beginning, there was fine wine at the middle, and there was fine wine at the end, and so those who did enjoy all needed a ride home because it was so good and so fruitful. But nonetheless, if you think about that for a second, in verses 1 and 2, who does Jesus say that you are in that process. If you think about the wine specifically for a second, who does Jesus say that you are? Are you the taster of the wine at the restaurant? Or are you the branch on which the grapes are supposed to grow? Are you a consumer of grapes, or are you a producer of grapes? Which one does Jesus say you are? Let me be more blunt. Does Jesus say that you are a consumer of ministry, or that you are a producer of ministry? Which one does He say? Now, if you are a Christian in Christ, then you are not a consumer. Our entire world is built off of telling you that you are a consumer. That your role in the world is to consume, to tell those who provide services what your preferences are, have them meet them, and you consume. That's what you do. Jesus says you are the opposite of that. You're not a consumer, you're a producer. Now, you do consume ministry. Well, you are to feed on the ministry of the Word. But you only do that for the purpose of producing ministry. Now, this is not the call to the minister. This is a call to the church, to the branches, to you. Now, as a Christian, you do consume grace, but only in order to produce love. You do consume grace. You do consume the ministry of the Word, the ministry of prayer, the ministry of worship. You consume all that, but only in order to produce works of love. That is a clear basic teaching throughout the New Testament. So, here's a real helpful question to ask, to just take a dipstick into your own heart. Do you produce as much ministry as you consume in your life? Think of the amount of Christian resources that you take in. How many sermons, how many church resources, how many local church resources, how many resources of the church at large. How many resources do you take in compared to the number of resources that you're putting out? That'll give you a good indication of where you are in relationship to Jesus' teaching. Now, I know that might be new or challenging to hear, but it is what Jesus says, even though it flies right in the face of everything that you're told on a daily basis. Now, if not, if you find yourself, well, I really am in the consumption mode, well, fret not. All that means is that Jesus just has something more for you. There is more for you to experience as a Christian than you've experienced if all you've ever done is consume. Now, we've looked at the parts of the church. Now let's look together at the process. So in verses 3 to 5, Jesus says that the process of the church, that is how it does its ministry, is like the process of a vineyard. So the church produces gospel ministry to the glory of God the same way that a grapevine produces good grapes. Same way. Now, how does a grapevine produce grapes? Well, the vine supplies sap to the branches so that they produce grapes. And so too, as I said a minute ago, Jesus supplies you with the living Word by His Spirit so that you produce things, deeds, ministries that glorify God. Now, what does that mean? That means that unless a church and its members abide in Jesus' Word, it will not produce fruitful ministry. Now, it might do things, but it's not going to do the sorts of things that verse 8 says bring glory to the Father. If that's the type of fruit that you're after, which is the only type of fruit that is useful to God, then Jesus says you must abide in Me. Because I am the one who mediates to you what you need to be fruitful. I am the one who mediates to you the word by my Spirit. Now I want you to look at what Jesus says in verse 3. So Jesus told John and the other disciples that they were already clean, and that they were already clean through the ministry that Jesus had done to them, that namely the ministry of the Father's word to them. So when he said that to them, he was saying very clearly that you all already have what you need to be fruitful. You already have what you need to do the things that I've called you to do. So all you have to do now, says Jesus, is just abide. Just abide in me. Abide in my words. Abide in the words that you have heard from the Father through me, which I have spoken to you. If you will do that, you'll be fruitful. If you don't do that, you will accomplish nothing. I guess it was sometime last year, might have been right around this time, that I was consuming a church resource. I was listening to a podcast produced by the seminary that I attended. And they had featured on this particular episode a young man who was raised in Uganda but was born in Rwanda in 1990, or was being raised in the early 90s during the genocide. And he had come to Beeson to do some graduate level work, and he was giving this podcast while he was there. Now, his father had pastored for 56 years in Uganda, but was also a very close friend of a man by the name of Gianni Luem, who stayed in Rwanda during the genocide in order to do what he believed God had called him to do. And the fruit of Gianni Luem's life continues to reap harvest after harvest in other people's lives, not least this young man and, of course, me and untold numbers of others. Now, as this young man named Robert was speaking with our dean in the podcast, he got my attention as he was reflecting on how he was processing the experience of having lived through genocide, of having been in a country where there was genocide, having, you know, not just close friends or relatives who were swept away in combat or collateral damage in war, but whole villages that he knew no longer there because of massive genocide. He was reflecting on that, and he said, in my call to ministry, I was working through that, I was torn by that, and I got to this point where I realized that we don't question God, we worship God. And when I got there, I became a fruitful man. You see, that was his experience of Jesus' Spirit through the local church and through his ministry and call to ministry in Uganda, mediating the word to him of the Bible that I am God and there is no other. Now, as that happened, this man named Robert became a fruitful man. Now, and he's been worshiping and ministering in Rwanda ever since, till he came to Birmingham for a few weeks. Now, in God's providence, I happened to be at the seminary doing some work, and I heard a voice that I recognized as his. And so I had to find some way to butt into what he was doing to talk to him. So I did. And then I said, I was really blessed by what I heard you say on the podcast. And we continued to speak about ministry, and he said something that I have meditated on ever since, but never quite known what it meant. He said when he was about my age, starting ministry and just come out of seminary, it was like he was a man who was moving, but was carrying all his things with him. He had all this luggage that and this equipment that he needed to go and to minister in God's name. And he said, at some point I realized, Jesus said, you don't need that. This is what you need. This is what you need. Put that down and take this and go. But I could never figure out what the this was until now. The this, which is what I need and what you need to be a fruitful Christian, is to abide in Jesus. That is the one thing that you must have to be what God is looking for in your life. You must abide in Jesus. And you must abide in His words. Now, what do you think that means? What do you think that looks like? Now, do we not abide in Jesus the same way that a branch abides in a vine? Yes, we do. Now, let me ask you this. Does a branch have to reconnect itself to the vine every morning? Every day, does the branch have to reattach itself to the vine to make sure it's abiding in the vine and to make sure when the harvester comes by, he's got fruit to show? So every morning, he's got to wake up and attach himself back to the vine. Is that how it works? And I ask that because when you wake up in the morning and you spend time with God, is the purpose of that you reconnecting yourself to Jesus? Is the reason that you come to worship and that you pray and that you do ministry every week, every morning, is the reason that you do that because you feel like, I know I must abide in Jesus, but I've got to reattach myself because I'm a sinner and I know the way I've lived, I've disconnected myself, so I've got to reattach myself by my spiritual discipline. Now, if that's true, then Jesus is wrong. Because He says, I am the vine, you're the branches. You're not the vine and Jesus the branch. And so what He means is, you simply stay with me. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I am not saying don't pray, don't read your Bible, don't come to church. It's not what I'm saying. Yes, we ought to do the spiritual disciplines. We ought to pray. We ought to read the Bible. We ought to come to worship. We ought to do ministry. But we should do those things not to gain intimacy with God, but to enjoy intimacy with God that we already have. So you're doing the same things for a different reason. So you don't pray in order to get back attached to God. You pray because you're already attached to God through Jesus. So you don't read your Bible in order to reconnect yourself spiritually to God because you feel like the way you've lived has kind of desensitized you spiritually. No. You read your Bible for Jesus to tell you what you already have, to remind you of the intimacy that you cannot separate. Now, you might diminish your experience. The sap might not flow through you as much as it could, and you might not be as fruitful as you could, but you cannot detach yourself from the vine. The only way you're detached, Jesus says, is if you're unfruitful. And then the vine dresser comes and removes you. So I want you to be free when you pray. Jesus wants you to be free. I want you to be free when you read your Bible. I want you to be free when you come to worship. That you come to enjoy what you already have, not to work and reattach yourself and to do the work that the vine does. So I think Jesus' words here can be very, very liberating. You already have intimacy with God. All you have to do to be fruitful is enjoy it. It's just to enjoy God. Enjoy what you have in Him. Now lastly and very quickly, let's look at the purpose of the vineyard and the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is just like the purpose of the vineyard. The purpose of the vineyard is to produce grapes for the owner. And the purpose of the church is to produce ministry for the vine dresser, for God, in Christ. And Jesus says that, doesn't He, in verses 6 to 8. His Father is glorified when His disciples do the same works that Jesus did. They do the same things that He did while He was in the flesh. He says, if you abide in the vine, if you stay attached to me, if you stay attached to my words, then you will glorify my Father. You will disclose my Father to others. And you'll glorify Him by praying to me for what you need to do that ministry, which is the ministry that I have done. So in other words, the lesson Jesus is teaching His disciples, that John is now teaching us, is that your bearing fruit, your doing ministry as a Christian, is how God reveals Himself to others. When I was 13, I was invited to go. I was not a Christian, but I was invited to go on a retreat that a church was having. And you know how these youth retreats go. You kind of build up to to this moment where the coordinators of the retreat are going to try to attach wild vines like myself, or wild branches, back to the vine. So you know, you have this moment where there's candles and there's music and there's this, just this is how we're going to stir the young person's heart. And I remember being at this retreat and really saying, okay, I'm open to what's going on here, but I need to see the God that they're talking about. I need to see this God. I hear about Him, but I really need to see Him. And I remember that being one of my earliest prayers. I would like to see God. And what I now know, looking back at that moment, if I were to minister to myself, I would have told myself, look to your left and to your right, to the people that you are with, because that is the place that Jesus has ordained for you to see God. Their love is His love. Their compassion, their mercy is His mercy, as we talked about this morning. Now the question that God would have those who were a part of the church ask, is that why you put the retreat on? Did you put the retreat together so that young people who don't know God would see God? Did you do it for God or did you do it for the church? So every church, like us, has to ask itself this question. Who do we exist for? Do we exist for ourselves? And if God gets some benefit of it, great. Or do we exist for God and for His glory? Our mission being, God is revealing Himself to our neighborhood and to wherever you live through you. That's what Jesus is teaching. Now, whether we receive it is another question. But He says that the church, that the branches exist for the vine, and the vine exists for the vine dresser, that the vine dresser's fruit, His glory, His character, might be disclosed. Now that means what I said earlier is, it's not okay to not know your place in God's vineyard. That's not okay. That's not an acceptable position to say, well, I just don't know my place, and so I'm just waiting on God to tell me what I'm good at and where I fit in. That's not okay. There are three ways that Matthew describes the ministry of Jesus. It had three parts to it. Now I'm going to tell you these because you'll remember that Jesus said, chapter 14, verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me, every Christian, will also do the works that I do. So that's true for every Christian. So since it's the works of Jesus that are the fruit that's supposed to be born out of our lives, well, then we have to ask ourselves, well, what kind of works did Jesus do? And they fit, according to Matthew, under three categories: teaching, preaching, and healing. Now, I'm going to define those in a way that every person in here can fit in somehow. Teaching is working with people's faith. So, if you teach Sunday school, you're working with people's faith. You are building that faith up. You're making it stronger, more durable, so that it can be more fruitful. That's what Jesus did when He went into the synagogues and when He sat on the hillside. Then there's preaching, which is working with people's unbelief. When Jesus was doing signs, walking on water, feeding 5,000, healing people by poolsides, he was communicating to people's unbelief. And then finally, healing, which is working with people's pain. So you can work with people's faith, you can work with people's unbelief, and you can work with people's pain. Now those are the three general areas where you must find your place. And if you don't, if you refuse, Jesus says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. What do you do with kale leaves that aren't green? You break them off and you throw them away. Because they're not useful. A Christian who refuses to serve and to be fruitful is not useful to God. The only thing he's useful for is to be thrown away. They're gathered and they're thrown into the fire and they're burned. Jesus said it this way in the Sermon on the Mount. If salt loses its saltiness, what is it good for except to be trampled by men? You, he said, are the salt of the earth. So, I know that that probably lands on you the way it lands on me, which is the way it landed on Moses. When Moses was called by God to go be a fruitful man by the power of God, he said no. And he gave all sorts of excuses of why he didn't want to do it. And what he was saying to God is that, you might have a great life for me, but I don't want to live it. And the word that God spoke to Moses in the book of Exodus is the same word that Jesus is speaking to you tonight. And it is an invitation to live the most exciting life that you could live. But you must allow the sap of Jesus' word to flow into your heart, to take root, and to work in you in a way that you are moved to do something. And this is the word that in different words God spoke to Moses and speaks to you. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, when you taught your disciples, you gave them the very best that you had. And the very best that you had may have felt all sorts of different ways to different people. And Father, you have put before us tonight what we are and who we are and what we exist for. We exist for you, for your glory, and for your name. And by your Spirit, help us find our place in your vineyard. Help us abide in you and bear much fruit, that you, when you come, might be glorified with the work that you find here. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.